there up to Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. We had two Lashonos of Rabbi Shua Malevi. The first one was that Rabbi Shua Malevi said that you, when you sell your average, you have to redeem it up to 100 times. And the Gemara wanted to know, is that a guzma? Is that an exaggeration? The Gemara tried to prove it to the fact that by an animal you only spend 10 times. So obviously 100 is an exaggeration. The Gemara's answer was, Evan's worse because you take him away from mitzvah. Then the Gemara brought the second lesson that said, by Evan is 10 times. And the question was, is 10 times a max or not? We brought the Gemara that said, by an animal is 100 times. So obviously 10 times is not a max. So the Gemara said, maybe Evan is different. You don't get it back. So the Gemara said, so behemoth, we get it back, so it should be 99 times by Evan, because it's only a difference of one time. The Gemara answered that by Evan, it's a milsim l'shicha, very infrequent that people sell off other pegayim, and therefore they weren't as severe in their knas. We did not do the Rashi, so we're going to do the Rashi right now. I think we did the Rashi on the first lesson. We're up to the second lesson. I love Davka. The Rashi, the Ibai Minei Tzvei, Kusinulei. Right? The second lesson, Bishul Ben Levi said 10 times, and if we want more, maybe we would punish him at the park so he redeems him. But Orcha the Milsu, they're not going to just pick 10 because that's the regular. Nobody's going to ask for more than 10 times. So the Gemara Admeya, Ksagat Haitachodin Levit. The Havamin is if by an animal, you're going to spend 100 times the value of the animal. By an Evid, you would spend 100 times the value of the Evid. Maybe it's 10 by an Evid and 100 by an animal. And by an Evid, we don't punish him that much. He doesn't go back. Says he goes three. So why by Behemoth do we go to 100? Because he goes back. Meaning if by an animal it's 10, by Evid it's 10, so an animal should be 11. And if an animal is 100, an Evan should be 99. One more time. It's only he's losing an animal besides the 10 times, so it should be 11. Since the time is because he's getting him back, that's the value of the animal. You're going up from 10 to 100. Woe to him, he'd rather not have it back and spend 10 times than spend 100 times to get his animal back. So the Gemara answered, Milsud l'shichihi shim kamru l'evet l'chavim. So Rashi says it's infrequent to sell an evet to a guy, and therefore by an evet and a guy, we're more lenient in the knas. It's not as many times, whereas an animal is more frequent, so we were stricter and we went up to 100 times. Dr. Gemara Vaitre, three lines at the bottom. Rabbi Yirmi asked Ravasi a shayla. Malcha Rabdai, a guy sold his eved to a guy. Umeis, and then the person who sold it died. Now she yiknusu as b'nai tachtav. Do we make his son redeem him or not? Is the son mechuyev to spend money to redeem the slave his father sold? Now, we look to other places as precedents, right? And therefore we're going to say, is it similar to case A? Is it similar to case B? So we'll try. Imtim to Leimar. If you're going to assume, which is also a Shiloh, that Tsaram Eisen Bechar Umeis comes to B'nai Achrav. This is a Gemara Bechairis. The halacha is a person is not allowed to make a mum, a firstborn animal, as a carbon. Now, Kehanim had a very big Yet Tahara, because if the Bechar gets a mum, they don't have to take it as a carbon, they can eat it at home. But if it doesn't get a mum, they have to schlep it to Yerushalayim and bring it as a carbon, or sit there and wait till it gets a mum. So people, unfortunately, kahanim like to make a mum. Now, the Torah says a lav, you're not allowed to make a mum. So they went and they said that if a kohen inflicts a mum, he can't use the animal. They banned the animal from him, can't have any pleasure from the animal if he makes the mum, or even if he directly causes the mum. That's the halacha. Now, what happens if a person made a mum and then died? Kayan made the mum and the animal, then died. Can his kid use that animal or not? Is it not extend to his child as well? So if you're going to assume, and again, that's a shayla and b'chayrus, but if you're going to assume that Tsaram Eisen B'char Umeis comes to B'nai Akrav, If you're going to assume that by, if an animal, kosaram, I think means, I don't know, probably makes a hole, makes a, how does he translate saram? Any help from Arch calling saram? Sorry?
He nicked the ear. He nicked the ear.
He nicked the ear. Thank you. Amazed that he died. Come to Bnei Yaakov. We punish his son. I could tell you, Mishum the Isura Deraisa. That's doing an Isur Deraisa of nicking the ear. It's a pasuk. You're not allowed to make a mum. Avilachi Isur Drabanan. The Isur of selling an Eved to a guy is only Drabanan. This is a Chiddush Niflum that we mentioned this before. I'm selling the Eved Kanani to a guy. He's going to have a very, very difficult time keeping mitzvahs, if at all. And yet, it's only an Isur Drabanan. Because I'm not doing the Isurim, I'm placing him in a position. It's not Lifnei Iver because, again, he could do the Isurim without it. And but it's a Drabana. And therefore, maybe we're not as strict. Maybe we'd only punish him, not his son. Let's do Rashi. Not Rashi. Ba'al sheyiknesu is b'nai lev daitzai. Do we punish his son to redeem him? Im tim tzolay merhach to be b'ayin lev b'chayres. That which we had a shaylam sechtes b'chayres. Kayan HaTzayrin, Kayan HaTzayrin Eisen HaBachar, a Kayan who nicks the ear of the Bachar. The Avram Mishim Kol Mum Lo Yiyabai. We learn out from the Pasuk, there should be no Mum, means don't make a Mum. The Minyan HaSum Lo Yishchat HaLamas. You can never shech the animal, ever, meaning even if it develops an other Mum. Umi Bayalam, Tzaram Umeis, Maus Yiknus of Nayachrov. What if he made the nick, and he died, then we punish his son. Now, the Imtim Tzolaymer, even if you're going to assume, Bahu the Consume, that in that case, we do punish the son. That would not prove this one. The Hussam called the Surah Deraisa. I go with the Surah Deraisa. There his father did a biblical issue. He only violated rabbinic law. So therefore, that would not serve as a good analogy. Now we move to another case where there, again, the Gemara had a Shiloh. And even if we'll assume in that case lenient, it doesn't reflect over here. And that is a shaylah. The halacha is we allow a person, a cholamayid, to do something that's called a davar avon, to prevent loss. He's allowed to work on cholamayid to prevent loss. Not to make profit, but to prevent loss. What happens if he sets it up that he's going to have to do it on cholamayid to prevent loss? He could have done it before. He specifically set it up. So when comes Cholamayid, he'll claim that he has to prevent the loss. The halacha is, we don't let him do the work. Because you set it up that way. That's called Kibbeh Melachta B'mayit. You intentionally set up that you should have to do this work on Cholamayid. The halacha, same shayla is over there. Guy set it up that he'll do the work on Cholamayid, and then he died. Do we let his son avoid this loss? His son inherits, let's say it's a field that needs to be harvested, doesn't get harvested, it'll get ruined, the crop. He could have done it before Yom Tov. He didn't. He figured, I'll have time for Cholamayid. So he left it specifically for Cholamayid, claiming the heter of Davar Avad. And now he died. Does his son have that same issue or not? So the Imtim Tzolaymar, even if you're going to assume, even if you're going to assume that we don't punish his son, that's Mishum Gleyuv Avedisura. The bottom line is, he hasn't done anything wrong. Unlike Tzaram Eizim Bechor, there he did something wrong already. Or in our case, he violated rabbinic law already by selling his Eved. There, he set up that he's going to violate Cholamayid. Nobody ever violated Cholamayid as of yet. He set up a violation, and a reaction to that setup, we banned him from doing it. But maybe no issue was done, so maybe we don't punish his son. Hacha, where he did an issur, my, the day comes to Rabbanu Ba'alase, is the punishment of the person he's no longer here. Adumul Mamayna comes to Rabbanu, we're interested in getting his money, which would be his estate, and Ba'yiste, and the estate is here. So it seems to be a shayla only if he left money over. If he didn't leave money over, wouldn't have a shayla. Do we punish his son that he has to use his inheritance money to go redeem the Eved at all costs? That's the Shiloh. Dr. Rashi, Imtim Tzolaymer Gavim Mechav Malachta B'mayit. Shiyachol La'asos Kaidem B'mayit. He could have done it before Cholamayit. Or La'anicha Milahascha B'arachar B'mayit. Or he could leave it over until after Cholamayit. Like even the Tzimtzim, he put something means he engineered it. He narrowed the time. So he started right before Yom Tov. There's certain things you can leave to after Chol HaMoed, but if you start it, you have to finish it. He started it before Chol HaMoed, knowing full well that the only way he's going to have to be able to do it is finish it in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says in Ma'id Katan, the Kulam and Kibnu Malachim, the Ma'id Jaivdu, we make him lose it. The Ma'ilam. Kibnu Mais. What happens if he intended to do it and then he died? Ma'ashi Yitin Subinai Akram. The Imtim Tulayma Bahi Tifshna to consume, even though if over there the halacha would be we do punish him, the Abagab Goyavadi Suri has done anything wrong, Kosh can Hachad Avadi Surah. So Rashi is saying, if there we would punish the son, here for sure we would punish the son. Big Bible, in Tim Tulay Mabahi Deloikon Suah. But if over there you don't punish the son, Akati Hami Boylan, here it's still a Shaila. The Hasam Hudloy Avoy Surah, Sharon Mace Clay of Amayan. There his father didn't do an Isser, he died before Chalamayan. But they have all in the Isser. So the Mamayne lived Isam in the Hasam. So Rashi, the money is here. So Rashi sets it up. If by Bechor we wouldn't punish him, then here for sure we wouldn't punish him. If by Chol HaMoed we would punish him, over here for sure we would punish him. But if by Chol HaMoed we don't punish him, and by Bechor we do punish him, where does this fit in? It's not like Bechor, because it's not a Teraisa, it's not biblical, and it's not like Chol HaMoed, because there he didn't do anything yet. So that's the Shaila of the Gemara, which way do we go? Dr. Gemara, Amalei Tinisua, we learned it in a Beferisha, I believe it is a Braisa. The Baisa says, Shadushin is kapsa b'shvias. A guy went and removed the thorns on Shvias. In Shemitah, you're not allowed to work on the land. Now, this is not considered a major working on the land to clear the thorns. It's only us and Midrabanam. And therefore, we didn't punish him. Tizar l'mayt Shvias, we let him plant. Mayt Shvias, the violation he did was not severe enough that we should punish him. Netaiva or Nidaira. Netaiva means either he fertilized it by taking fertilizer in wagons. Nidaira means he put animals in there, right? So the animals should fertilize it. That's a derisa. If he does that on Shemitah, which improves the land, the removing thorns is like removing the bad. Adding fertilizer is increasing the good. That's a derisa. Loi tizar l'mayt shvias. That's what the Baraita says. We punish him. He cannot plant it the next year. We have handed down that if he did this deraisa of fertilizing it and then died, his son can plant it. Alma, we only punish him. We don't punish his son. And this, there, it's a deraisa. And still, we don't punish his son. So for sure here, that's only Drabanan, for sure we wouldn't punish his son. And that's the way the Gemara comes out, that if a person sells his Eved to a guy and he dies, we do not force his son to redeem him. I mean, again, terrible thing happens, but again, the son is not obligated to spend money to redeem him. Rashi. These are thorns and thistles were taken away to make the animal, the land good. The Ezu Avaidus Karka. This is not called an Avaidus Karka. Minatira. So like and so they didn't punish him, but Tisrael Maitishvias, and we let him plant it. Maitishvias. The Taiva, this Davla, was fertilized. The Aydach was Devil Bagolus and Masars. And he took fertilizer using wagons or other things to carry it. The Dairai de Deer Behema. He made it into a corral, not a place where animals wander around. The Zavla, automatically, they will make fertilizer. Avaidus Karkahi, the Kanchanaisa, that is considered Avaidus Karka, and we punish him. Period. The Gemara proves that Loi Kansu B'nai Akhrab, Lushat Medvait. Dr. Gemara Vait, Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Naktinan, we assume, or we have handed down. Now, how does he translate the word Naktinan? We assume. Means we know. I don't know how.
Tradition.
Received the tradition. Thank you. Okay, this gets involved in the shaila that we will have later on in the fifth parak and get damages. A person damages something, he has to pay. Person's obligated to pay damages. What happens if he does a damage that's not recognizable? Is that considered a biblical damage or not? If a person does something, it looks exactly the same, but its halachic status has changed. When the Torah said you pay for damages, did the Torah mean damages that are recognizable, or did the Torah mean any damage done by the man? It's a machlokes later on. We'll elaborate on this later on. We paskin hezek she'ein nikar, a damage that's not recognizable, the person does not have to pay for it, only, meaning like this, let me explain. The bottom line is that the machlokes ends up in the same place. Let me try to explain. Let's say you say that a hezek she'ein nikar is called a damage, and you would have to pay. But the Rabbanim were concerned that I wouldn't tell the guy that I did it. For instance, case in point, I took a dead cheret, took a dead turtle, and I put it on his truma. Then I took it off. The truma became tame. He will never know about it. What? And he'll eat tame de truma. So the Rabbanim said, he did it on purpose. He'll make sure the guy knows, because he wants the guy to know he was damaged. He doesn't get enough pleasure of putting it on purpose and not telling the guy. But if he did it by mistake, he'll say, I'm not going to tell him. If I have to pay, I'm not going to tell him. So what happens is, we don't make him pay if he doesn't be shaking. That's if you learn it is a damage. So biblically speaking, he should pay. Rabbanan stepped in and said, in order to make sure people inform other people of the damage done, b'shagig, you don't pay. That's what Rabbanan said. If you hold a damage that's not recognizable, doesn't have to pay. So the Rabbanan were concerned that people will go around damaging people in a way that's not recognizable, and they won't have to pay. So if I'm angry at my friend, I'll be metame his truma. I'll do something that's not recognizable and let him know that I did it, and I don't have to pay. So they said, mazid pays. So the bottom line is, hezek she'ein nikar pays mazid and doesn't pay b'shagig. And the way we paskin, really he shouldn't pay, but it's a knas. If he did it b'mazid, we punish him to pay. What if he did it and then died? What would his son have to do? Now, if a person damaged and then died, we collect it from the estate. How about if he damaged this kind of damage that we don't view as a payable damage deraisa? It's only payable to Rabbanan as a knas. And now he died. What would be the status of his son paying? So, Dr. Gemara, I'm Rabbaya. Naktinan, I forgot the word Harvey told me. We have a tradition, an oral tradition. Hey, Tima Omez, if he fertilized, I'm sorry, not that case. Tima Tarish Ochaveirai, if he was Matame, the things that his friend kept to her, it's not a recognizable damage, Omez. Loi Kansu Rabbanan Ben Achav, we do not punish your son. Why, my time up. Hezek Shena Nikoloi Shmei Hezek, a non-recognizable damage is not called a damage. Uknasid Rabbanan, it's only a rabbinic punishment. Vididei Kansu Rabbanan, they punished him, liberate like unto Rabbanan, they didn't punish his son. Rashi, like unto B'nayachim L'shalem, the Avagav Shehu Chayim L'shalem, he has to pay. Like we learned in the next parak, that a metame, v'amadame, v'amanaseh, one is metame, truma, or medame means he mixes truma and chulim. He just mixes them together. It's not recognizably damaged. Nothing's missing. Or manaseh, he pours the wine in front of an avodah zarah. The wine is the same wine, same amount of wine. You'll never know. But he, meanwhile, became aser. Shaygi pater umezit chayim. She'ein a nikar. Hatuma ein a nikaris beperis. Tuma is not recognizable in the fruit. Loich mehezik l'kayev nuchasam anatera. Not called a damage to make him pay from his estate. Period. So far we dealt with a person who sold his eved to a guy. Now we're moving to the next case in the Mishnah, when the guy sold his eved to Chutzlar. So let me set up this Gemara so we should be able to understand it. The halacha is, if I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, and I have an eved Kanani, and the eved Kanani doesn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael, I have no right to force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. I have to sell him so he should be able to sell an estate in Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with selling my Eved away. The guy lives in Tzfas or Yerushalayim. He wants to move out of Eretz Yisrael. His Eved Kanani says, no, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael. I want to be Mekayim this mitzvah. And you're forcing me to leave Eretz Yisrael and not be able to keep all the mitzvahs that are negay in Eretz Yisrael. Truma, Meister, all the things that a person can do in Eretz Yisrael. The halacha is, you cannot force him to leave. You can persuade him to leave. You can't force him to leave. However, if he wants to go, or he agrees to go, you're allowed to take him and go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha. Now, the question is, a guy sells his Eved to Chutz Lara. Now, if he wants to go, why should he be able to claim, I want to go free because you sold me the Chutz Lara? You agreed to go to Chutz Lara. And if he doesn't want to go to Chutz Lara, there's no way to force him. You can sell him all you want. You can't even take him to Chutz Lara. It's sure you can't sell him to Chutz Lara. It's not a valid sale. So in what case do we say, if you sell him to Chutz Lara, he goes free? If he agrees, he lost his right. And if he doesn't agree, you can't do it. So Taisa speaks out, and this is necessary to understand this Gemara, that it's talking in a case that you sold him to Chutz Lara'etz, and the new owner is going to persuade him to leave. You put him in a position where he's now persuadable, meaning you're selling him to a guy who's going to sit there and persuade him to leave. So you're causing him to agree to leave Eretz Yisrael. For that alone, we punish you and we free the Eved. You shouldn't sell him to somebody who's going to take him out to Chutz Lara'etz. Now, he doesn't have to go. He'll say, I don't want to go. But he might agree. The guy will dangle something in front of him and make it worthwhile for him to go to Chutz Lara'etz. So you set up that he's going to Chutz Lara'etz, we punish you. Don't sell him to a guy who's going to persuade him to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha in the Mishnah. It's a very big halacha if you think about it. You can take him to Eretz Yisrael if he agrees to go along. You can persuade him to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's your right as an owner. He can say no, and you have to sell him off in Eretz Yisrael. But if you sell him to somebody who's going to persuade him to leave, we punish either the buyer or the seller, we'll see in a minute, to have to free the Eved. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Now we can go into the Gemara. But I just want everybody to understand it. You as an owner can persuade your Eved to leave. If he doesn't want to leave, the Mishnah in Sukkah says, you can't take him. You have to sell him in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Mishnah says in Sukkah. So if he doesn't want to leave, you can't do anything. If you sell him to an owner in Chutz Lara'etz, again, if he agrees, how can he say, I want to go free? You sold me to Chutz Lara'etz. You agreed to go. And if he didn't agree, you can't take him. The answer is, you put him in a position where somebody else is now going to try to persuade him to go. And that is your Isser. You put him into that position, and therefore, by selling him, we force you to free him. Even though you yourself can persuade him to go, but you can't give him to somebody else to persuade him to go. That's how Tysus learns this Mishnah, and now we can start the Gemara. Change
his mind later?
How about, what?
Can the Eved change his mind later after he arrives in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Lara'etz? Says, I don't like this,
no.
I want to go back to Israel.
No backseat. Once he agrees, he gave up his right. Again, we have to view the Eved Kanani as he is, in all things like a woman. Just like a person can't force his wife to leave Chutz Lara'etz, Eretz Yisrael, Mishnah and Subas. If he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael, she says no, he can't force her to go. Tana Rabbanan, Hamaych Ravda L'Chutz Lara'etz, Yatsu L'Cheres. The Tzarek Yetchikrim and Rabbi Sheni. So according to the Tanakhama, we make the second owner, the one who bought him, we punish him, and he frees them. Tzarek Yetchikrim and Rabbi Sheni. He bought him, belongs to him. The valid sale, right? And the master has to free him for buying him and taking him out of Eretz Yisrael. Again, for persuading him, for buying him and then persuading him. That's the halacha. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Pamim Yatzo, or Pamim Lo Yatzo. Sometimes he goes out, and sometimes he does not go out. Ketzad. Amar Ploini Avdi, now this is going to be explained in the Gemara better, but let's try. Amar Ploini Avdi, Mechatu L'Ploini Antuchi. The Shtar says, I sold my Eved to this Greek Jew. Vayatza. That doesn't go out, because that does not indicate that the Greek Jew lives in Greece. He's a Jew that came from Greece, and for all the seller can say, right, the seller can say, I didn't know, I didn't do anything wrong, right, because I thought he lives here, right? So the shtar does not indicate that he is, 1 second, I just want to make sure I'm teaching this right. Right. The star does not indicate that he sold him to leave Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, it's the 1 second. Right. So therefore, since the star doesn't indicate it, we don't make him go free. We don't force it. However, if it says, La'tuchi shebatuchia, I sold him to a Greek from Greece, meaning he lives in Greece, that double language, yatsa, because means that you sold him to Chutzlaritz. Rashi, the Chutzlaritz afilu li'Yisrael, l'plani antuchi, mashmash neilet b'antuchia. He was born in Athens, I think Antuchia is Athens. L'mashmash neilet v'dar b'antuchia. That doesn't tell us he actually lives in Athens. He didn't buy him to take him there. Now, Rashi's bothered. But what if the guy turns around and takes him out? So doesn't that show that was his intention? Why don't we punish him? Since the star doesn't indicate that he's from Greece now, he's called a Greek Jew from Greece, that double language says he's taking him to Greece. And if not, we say he's going to bring him back. He might take him out temporarily, which he's allowed to do, as long as he plans to come back. And I don't know what the time period would be. And that would not, we would not force him to free him. Shaban Tukhya, Mashmashidi Rasisha. That's his main place of living, Lamanaske and Lakhli. It doesn't say that he is in Greece. We say he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He goes to Greece sometimes for business. He takes him along. If it says the Greek Jew from Greece, that means he lives in Greece now, and therefore he goes free. Fact the Gemara about Tanya, the Brisa says differently. It says, if it says, I sold him to a Greek, that's a Greek Jew, it's enough to go free. If it says a Greek Jew who now resides in Lod, just picking an example of a city in Eretz Yisrael, ironically, that's where the airport is. It doesn't go free. But it's mashma that if anything, it has to identify him as a guy living in Eretz Yisrael. If not, we view it as selling it to Chutzlar. And for the Gemara Loikasha, how the Isli based in Eretz Yisrael, how the Isli Ishbiz in Eretz Yisrael. If he has a house in Eretz Yisrael, then as long as it doesn't say he lives in Greece, we say he means to stay in Eretz Yisrael. At least his permanent residence is in Eretz Yisrael. He might take him out for business. If he has no house in Eretz Yisrael, just a hotel room or an inn where he stays, then unless it specifies that he's staying in Lod, we say he means to take him out and we punish him. Rashi? Lod, Eretz Yisrael. Hadik tani lempleni antuchi lo yatsa ha-shamer bin tuchya. The istle v'hai lantuchi, this Greek Jew has bias, Eretz Yisrael. V'ha hadik tani lantuchi yatsa. The Leslie bias. He has no house. Right. Avo. Sorry. Leslie bias. Avo Spiza is like he has an inn where he stays. Zog the Gemara Viter. Boyer Birmia. Birmia asked the following Shiloh. Ben Bobo should not the Isha Eretz Yisrael. A Ben Bobo married a woman from Eretz Yisrael. The Chnisalai Avadim Mishwachas, and she has Avadim Mishwachas that belong to her, that's going to become Nixay Tzayim Barzo. And to refresh our memories from Yavamas, a woman that gets married has a choice what to do with her property. She can either say, I want to keep ownership of the property, and my husband gets the right to use it, to eat the paris, That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is to say, let's evaluate the value of the property today, and she's guaranteed that if he dies or if he divorces her, he will reimburse her the same value as the property she brought in, meaning all gains in value or losses in value are the husband. Now, we also said over there that if the thing is still intact, he gives her back that same thing. Even though he can say, I want to pay you, I'd rather give you money, right? I just owe you the money. But if the thing is intact, there's that word called shvach beis aviyah, that we say this is something she got, there's an emotional, sentimental value, and we make him give back the item. So here's this woman, married this man from Chutz Laaretz, has a brother mishvachas. The daita logs her, and he's going back to Chutz Laaretz. He's moving to Chutz Laaretz. She agrees, and he's going to persuade the Avanim now to come along to Chutz Laaretz. Now, we want to know, is that considered a sale? Did she just sell her Eved to Chutz Laaretz by getting married to this Chutz Laaretz guy? Or we say, no, she didn't sell him. It's still considered hers, so to speak. And therefore, it's like her taking her own Avanim out to Chutz Laaretz, and therefore is not punishable. Because again, a person can take their own avodah out if they agree. You just can't give it, sell it to somebody else to persuade them. Is the woman who's getting married selling it to her husband, or is it not considered a sale? Now, this goes in Machloikas, in Masechtas Yevamos, whether I mentioned that she has a sentimental right to demand the item. That's a Machloikas. One Mandiyama says she has that right, and one Mandiyama says she does not have that right. So we want to know, according to both of those mandiyamas. To boy lamanda amar, hadin ima, this shayla will be, according to the mandiyama, and it says that she has a right to claim the item. To boy lamanda amar, hadin imai, that the din is with him, she has no right to claim the item. And the Gemara will explain. To boy lamanda amar, hadin ima, kimin hadin ima kidido dami. Yes, he gets all the losses and gains, but the fact that she's going to get it back at the end of the marriage still makes it considered like it's hers. And therefore, it's considered hers, and it's not like she sold it. I don't mark even the Meshabdile of the baby, since she uses it, and it really belongs to him, right? So that Lacha is, it's considered like his, and he sold it. Tabayi lamandam adin imai, kiven adin imai kididaydami, that he can keep it. I don't make even like Kanalei the Gufei. Now, the way they learn is that usually, this is how the Achleitim explained it, usually he gives it back to her, even though he doesn't have to, but that's the derech. And ever since he gives it back to her, because he's a dummy, we don't consider it a sale, teiku, we have nothing to say. Rashi.
Does it include the children? The new, during the marriage, they have offspring.
Who the Avanim have offspring?
Yes.
Well, those of them are born in Chutz Laaretz, they have no rights. But if you have to feed the Eved, there are no offspring.
Is that considered Atzon Barzel still?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, 100%. He wouldn't have to reimburse her for that.
I thought that the definition of Atzon Barzel, there's no produce. You can't shear them. That was the idea, that they can't produce anything more.
No, same Barzal definition is she has a lockbox. She's guaranteed the money she brought in, the value what she brought in. That's what same Barzal means.
So even if that's some Barzal, Eros, then what happens to those payros? Those are also Tzon Barzal?
No. She only gets the value. Melug, she gets to keep the ownership and he gets the payros. And same Barzal, she gets nothing. It's all his, except according to one Mandiyama, she has a right to demand it back at the end of the marriage. According to the other Mandiyama, she has no right, but it's commonly done.
So,
I'm sorry.
That's on the item itself. That's where the machlekes is on the actual product.
The payers belong to the husband. It's totally the husband.
Oh, belong to the husband. Okay.
Rashi. See, this is, I want to point out, So I explained the Gemara one way Rashi explains it. Because it Adin Imoy and Adin Imoy is a machlokes by Tzayin Barzo. But really, the words in the Gemara are fit for from a lug. The lug, she owns it and he has the peiros. The Gemara seems to set it up. It's hers, but he has the peiros. Or Adin Imoy, but she has the guf. That's by Malug. Except by Malug, there's no machlokes Imoy or Ima. So therefore, Rashi learns it's talking about Tzayin Barzo. But by Tzayin Barzo, it's a little bit difficult. What does that mean, she has the guf? She doesn't have the guf. If you hold that Din Imoy, he doesn't have to give it back to her. So the Mefarshim say, he commonly gives it back to her. So in a certain sense, it's like it's still hers. It's a difficult shot in the Gemara. But again, the Gemara sets it up, Din Imoy, which is only by Tzayin Barzo. And yet, the Gemara uses language that she owns the guf, even if it's Adin Imoy. And it's not true. So the Mefarshim learn, it means usually he gives it back so it's like she owns it. And therefore there's no knas. Let's read the Rashi. The Rashi, V'day to L'Achzer, L'Bavo, Ma'o, Mi Hava Achitza Mecheres Eved, Zed L'Chutz Lorez B'Nesu'un Halolu in this marriage. The Karmelon Babu Nechtisha L'Keach Avi, like he bought it. V'Yatzu L'Cheres Eloi. The Bailo Ma'adamer Bachnas Eshum L'Bailo, she brought in property evaluated the Gersha. He had married Kaylee on the Intellis. She wants the item back. Who I'm a dummy money nice and giving you the money. Kamaisha Shaman Lee, like they evaluated. Bachuyusi, and I was responsible, but Nichte Tzayin Barzo, and the Shumim, the Tzuba, which were evaluated in Tzuba. Igle Madam Adin Imo, how am I to Shalim Bachuyusi? It's it. Igle Madam Adin Imo, Mishim Shvach Beisavia, because of sentimental value. Kididada Mibulah Machiri, but Miss Armelin is Garsha Didadino. She has a claim to it. The Pavi Shumashumim Memlum Lachta, he can use it. The more that he can use it, he gains the value if it gets up, if it increases in value. Kidi dadami, the law, I'm sorry, the law cut a little goofy, the imai is a megarish for a hudri law. Now, if it's Adin Imoy, he doesn't have to give it back to her. But the common thing is to give it back to her. So therefore, that's the Gemara Shailim, and the Gemara answers Teiku, and we will stop over here. Everybody should have a wonderful Rosh Chodesh. I hope to be back in person tomorrow morning.